is how you know that a curse is working in your life. It's because there's something that's continually happening over and over and over again that you can't get victory over. That's evidence that it's working in your life. And the Lord says that he wants us free from that. But we have to do something about it. And again, usually we do the mikveh services on Monday nights, but because Passover is this Monday night, again, we're doing it today. So if you look on your cover sheet where it talks to introduction to a mikveh. Mikveh is a Hebrew practice through which people around the world have reached to Yahweh for spiritual renewal and repentance from disobedience for thousands of years. Because it is meant to be cyclical in nature, it is helpful in reminding us of the choices Yahweh grants everyone through the Torah, his teaching and instruction. The mikveh guide is designed to encourage you to look deep within yourself and acknowledge any known or unknown sin that you or your forefathers may have committed. As you read each section, you will be given a silent moment to ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your attention anything that may have been forgotten due to traumatic events that may have occurred earlier in your life. Use the exercises to reveal any or all curse patterns in your life. We will then invite Yahweh to cleanse us from all iniquity and transgression through a personal prayer of repentance. You will be instructed on how to perform the immersion at home. Mikveh grants us the opportunity to turn away from our former ways, the ways of the flesh, and to choose a deeper and more whole relationship with Yahweh. He has called us to be a holy people. How many know what was the very first mikveh you ever experienced? When you were born again. Water baptism is very much a Hebrew rite. It's a Hebrew ritual. When the Hebrews went into the mikveh, they would go down and up three times, and the last time they'd come up, they'd shout, born again, born again. Let me just give you a little bit of background on this. This isn't in your book, but so you can have a little better understanding. The term mikveh in Hebrew literally means any gathering of waters, but is specifically used in Jewish law for the waters or bath for the ritual immersion. The building of the mikveh was so important in ancient times that it was said to take precedence over the construction of a synagogue. Immersion was so important that it occurred before the high priest conducted the service on the Day of Atonement, before the regular priests participated in the temple. Before each person entered the temple complex, before a scribe wrote the name of God, as well as several other occasions. In fact, archaeologists just dug up a bunch of mikvahs around the temple, the mikveh pools. And what they were is they were stairs that would go down into the water where they would immerse and then they would come out. And every time the priests went into the temple, they would go through a mikveh. Yeshua went through a mikveh. Why? Because he needed to repent? No. Because he was having a status change. He was entering into his ministry. He was entering into proclaiming that Messiah had come. History of the Jewish mikveh. The Mishnah attributes to Ezra a decree that each male should immerse himself before praying or studying. There are several Jewish groups that observe ritual immersion every day to assure readiness for the coming of the Messiah. The church fathers mentioned one of these groups called Hemerobaptists, which means daily bathers in Greek. Among these used to regular immersion were the Essenes and others that the Talmud calls Tovli Shirit or dawn bathers. I'm just going to skip a few things. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of a background. Why be immersed? To the ancient Jew, the mikveh was a process of spiritual purification and cleansing, especially in relation to the various types of turma or ritual defilement within the temple when the temple was in use. Although Yahweh has not revealed all the meanings of the mikveh, it is obviously because the amount of space is given in the scripture that it is important. And the effort of Yeshua to fulfill it, the command is of utmost importance. Jewish immersion has never been taken lightly, but in ancient times, immersion was to be performed in the presence of witnesses. Prior to the mikveh, they had already bathed, cut their nails, and made a fresh profession of faith before the designated fathers of the baptism. The individual stood straight up with the feet spread and the hands held out in front. the candidate would totally immerse themselves by squatting in the water with a witness or baptized during the officiation. Matthew 3:16 says, "And after being baptized, Yeshua went up immediately from the water." So just the background, this is very much was well known to the early believers, the mikvah. And what it is, it's really a spiritual picture of what is going on. That water is a spiritual picture of the word cleansing us and setting us free. And that's one of the first things, because when you were born again, when you accepted Yeshua as your Savior, you had a mikvah. Why? Because you had a status change. You went from spiritual death to spiritual life. So you had a status change in Messiah. How many times have you heard your mother tell you to go wash up before a meal? On the simplest level, we usually think of water as a cleansing agent. If your body is unclean, it is only natural to wash with water. Everything in the physical world has a spiritual counterpart. Therefore, when we think of cleansing in the spiritual sense, we would also use water as a cleansing or purifying agent. The mikvah is to the spiritual as a bath is to the physical. To obtain a better understanding of the mikvah, we need to look at the scriptures. The first time a mikvah was used can be found in Exodus 29, when Aaron and his sons were to immerse themselves in water before they were allowed to minister as priests. Now, the scriptures are not insinuating that Aaron and his sons were physically unclean in any way. Aaron and his sons were originally no different than anyone else. However, they went from the status of ordinary men to the status of priests. They were elevated from one status to another and achieved through the mikvah. Just as the water was washing away physical filth, the mikvah was washing away spiritual filth, changing their spiritual status from that of being unclean to clean. Probably the best example of this is baptism. When one goes through a baptism, they are not focusing on washing away any physical filth. Rather, they are undergoing a conversion, a spiritual status change. A change of status comes about through the immersion of the mikvah. Let us look at another example of a mikvah. There is no question that the children of Israel went through a status change when they went through the waters of the Red Sea with Moses. However, we also see the children of Israel entering the promised land through parted waters, the same way they entered the desert some 40 years earlier. No one would question that they did not go through another status change. Here we see the Lord taking an entire nation through not only one, but two mikvahs to change their spiritual status to a level appropriate for the work that he had ahead of them. Let us also consider the high priest as he ministered at the temple. The most critical part of the temple service was when the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies in Yom Kippur. On this, the most sacred day of the year, the holy priest would enter the Holy of Holies two times. Each time he was required to change his clothes, and before he changed his clothes, he would have to immerse himself. In other words, he was required to mikvah each time he changed his clothes. Each time he was elevated from one status to another. This was the Day of Atonement, a day of repentance, the cleansing of the sins of a nation. One of the most important teachings of Judaism is that of repentance. No matter how great a sin a person committed, his slate can be wiped clean. Sin can be categorized two ways: iniquities, which are the sins that were passed down from generation to generation, and transgressions, which are an individual's act of disobedience. There are two steps to a mikvah. The first is always repentance, followed by immersion. Immersion without repentance is no more than taking a bath. When a person truly repents to God with a sincere heart, he is asking for the mercy of God to wipe that sin away. God, who is outside the realm of space and time, can see the past and future in one glance, the same way as he can see the present. God is, was, and will be God is, was, and will be all at the same time. He can wipe the sin clean, but that does not mean he wipes the consequence or the damage of the sin away. As an example, someone kills someone. The person responsible for the death truly repents before God with a sincere heart. God will forgive the sin, however, the person who died will remain dead. That is the damage of sin. The mikveh service at Beit Midrash Tefillah helps you lead you through a journey of your ancestral past. Through the Ruach HaKodesh, the curses you may be living with, as identified in Deuteronomy 28, can be wiped clean and show you how to pick up your mat and live a victorious life in the midst of damage and consequence of sin, so you may live in the blessings of the Lord for you today and not focus or be held in bondage to the damage of sin. Be encouraged and be blessed. So what you have in your sheets there is a family tree exercise. And what you're going to do is you're going to write the names and nicknames of individual members of your family in the spaces below. And as we go through, do you need a pen? Is it people need pens or anything? Or do you have that? I'm sorry, what? Write your paternal side and your maternal side, step-parents, anybody that you can think of on that sheet. You can still. Because what we're doing is we're looking for a pattern. We're looking for curses that may be in operation in our family line, in our family tree. Okay, and the Holy Spirit, and I said, this is a time to be a blessing for you. It's not meant to bring condemnation on anybody. It's meant to reveal ourselves that the enemy would try to keep us from walking in all the blessings that God has for us. You know, for example, in my family, I can see there's like a pattern of divorce in my family from, as far back as I can see. So the enemy would try to like to have that continue. But because we know that we can stand against that curse in our family, that we can stand against it. Okay, two things. Now, you're not going to have all these notes, but there are sheets to take notes in the back, and I'm just going to, when I get to the point where you need to be, I will let you know. But what we want to do is, number one, we want to remember that Yeshua paid the price for all our hurts, for all our pain, for all our sin. But sometimes, only God knows the pain you've gone through in your life. Only God knows the things that you have gone through in your childhood. I don't, but the Holy Spirit does. And you don't have to live with that pain. You don't have to live with that hurt or that anger. But sometimes it gets so buried down, we just keep on shoving it away and shoving it away and shoving it away. Then all of a sudden something happens and it just comes forth in our life. And God wants to set you free from those pains and those hurts in your past. Two things pursue us, the blessings or the curse. Exodus 35:5, you can write these scriptures down. They're not on your sheet. I will, when we get to the section that we're going to deal with certain things, I will let you know. Because you have had an ancient hatred and have shed the blood of the children of Israel by the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, when their iniquity came to an end, therefore, as I live, says the Lord, I will prepare you for blood, and blood shall pursue you. Since you have not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue you. Psalm 109:17. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. Matthew 7:1, judge not, that ye not be judged. Luke 6:37, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Ezekiel 18:19, yet you say, why should the Son not bear the guilt of the Father? Because the Son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. So we can stop that curse in our life. We can stop the generational curse trying to pursue us. I just want to put something up here.
Feel
strongholds, soul's first line defense. As you actually, this starts kind of like from the bottom up, so maybe I could work this way. I'm sure many of us have had traumatic things happen in our life. Lack of love or no nurturing, abuse, word curses, generational bondage, neglect, betrayal, rejection. Those things, you can't do anything to change what happened to you. But you can have the choice to get set free from those and not let them become strongholds in your life. Source one, unhealed hurts. Source two, unresolved issues. Source three, unmet needs. Layer self-control, self-reliance, self-protection, self-centeredness, self-defense, soul's bottom line of defense. That's how a lot of times we protect ourselves from those hurts we've experienced in the past. We put walls around us of self-control, of self-reliance, of self-protection, self-centeredness because of the hurts we've experienced. We try to, you know, I know that was like what I was like when I first came to the Lord because there were so many hurts. I just kept on putting walls around me. You know, I'd only let people get so close to me because I didn't want to be hurt anymore. So we become, what happens is that pain, doubt, hidden agendas, unforgiveness, distrust, fear, pain, confusion, insecurity, resentment, wrong desires, inferiority, lust, neediness, wrong understanding, hopelessness, fear and pain. Those are all strongholds that take hold of our life if we don't deal with them. Out of those strongholds become wrong behaviors come up. Attempting to subdue, quiet, and pacify and take the edge off those three sources. Drugs, alcohol, medicines, denial, suspicion, programs, victim mentality, psychosomatic illnesses, rigidity, legalism, intolerance, criticalness, perfectionism, inability or refusal to make decisions, overeating, fornication, sexual gratification, soul ties, wrong kinds of relationships, backbiting, sarcasm, cruel jesting. Those are all ways that we try to control those hurts in our life. There's all ways that we try to deal with the hurts in our life. But God says we can reverse those hurts. We can reverse those curses. We try to justify these with logic, with reasoning, with arguments, with justification, denial, and defensiveness, with wrong ideas, wrong beliefs, wrong patterns of thinking, wrong attitudes, and wrong motives. So we have this continuous cycle of strongholds where we don't trust people because of the hurt that's within us. Because we don't trust people, we tend to not trust God either. And God wants to set us free. Like I said, I don't know the hurts you've been through in your life, but God does. And that's what this is about. This is about God healing us and setting us free from those hurts and those generational curses. You know, you don't know what your ancestors did. I mean, I can trace my ancestors back maybe three generations. But before that, I didn't know what they did. I didn't know if they were into witchcraft or the occult or, you know, what was spoken forth in my family line. You know, my grandfather used to joke, you know, when we would, on my mother's side, when we would ask him, you know, I would try to, you know, well, where'd your family come from? He used to laugh and say, oh, we were gypsies. You know, it's like, well, I don't know, what were they doing as gypsies? The word says that we can reverse that curse in our life. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, and keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he will surely live, and he shall not die. Isaiah 66:1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build for me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all these things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. We have to come to the point where we say, you know, Father, there's things in my life that, you know, I'm tired of this cycle. It seems like I never, you know, I never seem to get ahead. It seems that, you know, I don't have my relationships never work out. You know why? Because there's a curse operating there that we can take authority over. Psalm 51. Wash me thoroughly, mikvah me from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. You know, the word says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And in sin, my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. We need to be truthful with ourselves. You know, it's easy to deny that, you know, your mind can talk you out of anything. But we need to listen to the Spirit, because God wants to set us free. He wants us to be free. He doesn't want us to walk in bondage or in strongholds. But we need to be truthful with ourselves on the inside. We need to, yes, Father, I have a problem with this in my life. I have, you know, I've had a, you know, I can, in that same problem, I can see, you know, in my mother or my father, you know, and there's a cycle going on in my life, and I need to deal with it. I need to repent before you. I want to get free with it, from it. But, you know, only you can be truthful. You can say, oh, I don't have any problems, and kind of blot it out of your head. But God wants you to be free. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We were sharing at the high soul class how, in Hebrew thought, you're either walking in the realm of life or the realm of death. There is no in-between. If you're walking in the Word and you're walking according to His Word and you're in Messiah, you're walking in the realm of life. If you are doing things of the world, you are walking in the realm of death, and you're opening yourself up to the curse to operate in your life. There's no gray. There's no straddling the fence. Yeshua said, I wish you'd be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Ruach HaKodesh from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. There is joy in his salvation. If we're not walking in joy, we need to find out the reason why. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. They shall offer bulls on your altar. Ezekiel 36:22-27. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in before your eyes. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. One of the biggest things I think a lot of us, this cord is kind of, deal with is the root of bitterness. What we need to learn to do is we need to learn how to stop it before it becomes a stronghold. There's 7 steps to bitterness. And bitterness will bring sickness and disease into your life. It opens the door for the enemy to work. You know, they've even proven people that are bitter have a tendency to get arthritis. It affects your bones. Number one, it begins with being offended, offenses, unforgiveness. Instead of stopping it, we rehearse the pain, and it becomes a stronghold, and you become hard. This is where you need to stop it before it starts working its way and becomes worse and worse. If somebody, if you're offended or you have unforgiveness, you need to deal it now with you now and say, Father, I have unforgiveness in my heart. I need you, you know, maybe you're still mad at your father because he left you. Maybe you're still mad at a spouse because of a divorce. You know what? It's only hurting you. God wants you to be free from that because he's got something so much better for you. You know, we can't live in the past. You know, I've learned the past is in the past. And, you know, God has set me free from that. I'm going forward. I'm not going to let somebody in my past control my life. I'm going to let the Word of God control my life. If you don't deal with it, what happens then? Resentment sets in. You start because in your mind, you start building up this resentment now because of this offense. If you don't deal with it then, what happens? Retaliation. Payback time. You know, you hurt me, well, I'm going to hurt you. So it becomes even a greater stronghold. If you don't deal with it then, what happens? Anger, rage, bitterness problems. Then hatred. Where does your bitterness go back to? You need to go back to where it happened and work through to forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. It's hard sometimes to forgive those who have hurt you, especially if you've been, you know, through traumatic things. You know, especially if maybe you've been a victim of incest or rape or, you know, some horrible, you know, abuse in your life. But it's the only way you're going to get free. Because that person is controlling you by staying in that anger and forgiveness. God wants to set you free. What happens more then if we are still, that hatred turns into elimination process, violence. And from that violence, murder. Not just physical murder, but lashon hara too. You know, you can murder somebody with your speech. You can murder somebody's reputation by what you say to them. You can murder them in your heart, and Yeshua pointed that out. Another way is, you know, that saying, giving people the dirty eye, and you know, every time they come around you, you just like look at them so that they know that you hate them. All comes from bitterness. We can't blame our parents. We need to take responsibility for our own sins. We can't keep on playing the blame game because it's just keeping us in a cage. It's keeping us from walking. That's just what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to live in your past. He wants you to stay filled with anger, bitterness, so you can't walk in the blessings, and so you can't do what God wants you to do. But you know what? We can be free from that. The 5 R's, what we need to do. Again, Passover, it's a time where we look at our lives. We look and we get the leaven out of our lives and prepare ourselves to receive Messiah. to receive what he has done for us. And it's a picture. Passover is a picture of our deliverance. It's a picture of our salvation. He came to set us free. And he's shown us, again, when you take, you know, you try to clean the leaven out of your house, one of the traditions is to, you take a feather and a spoon, and the kids go around and, you know, with the father, and they're you know, trying to find all the little crumbs that they missed, and they sweep them up and they burn them. But I don't know about your house, but it's nearly impossible to get every piece of leaven out of your house. You know, only Yeshua can do that. Only Yeshua can to deliver us completely from those things that are keeping us from getting set free. God does not want us to walk in the curses. He wants us to walk in the blessings. Deuteronomy 28:1-10 says, if you obey my word, if you obey my commandments, you will walk in the blessings. You know, but obeying his word also is in your thought life too. Obeying his word is in your heart too. Number one, we need to recognize our sin. Hosea says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. We need to discern in us where the roots of sin are. Discern what the fruit of it is and what is the root of that fruit. We need to take responsibility of sin. We need to choose to change and to repent. If we are gossiping and speaking evil about people, that is just as much a sin in God's eyes as going out and robbing a bank. We need to repent of that. You know, James says if we can control our tongue, we would be perfect. We would be a perfect person, but you know what? That's the hardest thing to control. Every single one of us have a hard time with that. But we need to choose to change and to repent. We need to confess, Father, I've missed it. You know, 1 John says, you know, if we say we have no sin, we are lying. But the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He cleanses us from that. We need to renounce the sins. We need to turn away. We need to hate sin in our life. We need to hate anything that is contrary to what God has called us to be. You know, we need to hate the gossip. We need to hate the evil thinking. We need to hate the prejudice in our life. We need to resist the devil, James says, and he will flee from us. We have authority over him in the name of Yeshua. We have authority to take in our own lives to stop walking in the curses. We don't have to be victims. No curse without a cause. Now, this is from Derek Prince's book, and I'm just going to read a few points that he brought out, and then we're going to go through the actual mikvah. You know, because God has called us, number one, we're to be a holy set apart people. He hasn't given us a choice that, yeah, you're saved, but that's okay. You can act the way you want to, you know. No, we're not. He says, you are to be a holy and set apart people. Number one, now these are some points that Derek Prince brought out. And actually, this is an excellent book, Blessing or Curse, You Can Choose. I've used three sources, Marilyn Hickey, Derek Prince, and Rabbi Ralph Messer. And they're basically all saying the same thing. Acknowledging or worshiping false gods. We need to do house cleaning. I taught a series on house cleaning before. Is there anything in our house that is demonic? Do you have Buddhas sitting in your house and you think, oh, they're cute? No, they're not. They're demonic. We need to do house cleaning. We need to, you know, are there things in your house that are pagan and not according to the word of God? I did house cleaning. We threw out a bunch of stuff that was, you know, that the Lord dealt with us that, you know, this does not belong in your house. I used to collect eggs, you know, pretty eggs and everything. And the Lord, you know, painted it and everything. And the Lord said, you know, that's a pagan. You know, that goes back to pagan rites. And I was like, you know, my flesh was like, oh, man. It's like, this cost a lot of money, but you know what? It's like, no, and God kept on dealing with me, and I says, you know what, I don't want him. I'm just going to throw him out. I don't care. Because if it's displeasing to God, then, you know, I don't want it in my house. Even some oriental art. If you look at Oriental art, yes, it's beautiful. But you know, there's a lot of pagan stuff on that Oriental art. Dragons and stuff. You know, and we need to do house cleaning. Because why? Because that can open us up to the curse operating in our life. There was Israel had that problem all the time. They were mixing the worship of Yahweh with pagan rituals. And it caused them to be judged. Exodus 21:5, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, and brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Anything we put before God can be an idol. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. And you shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generations to those who hate me. Isaiah 45:21, tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let us take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient times? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. 2 Timothy 2:26, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having taken captive by him to do his will. We need to get free from those things. I have a lot more scriptures, but if you want the whole book, I've got it downstairs. Number two, all involvement with the occult. I'm going to read you something from his book, Derek Prince's book. So sorcery operates through material objects or through other ways of impacting the physical senses, such as drugs or music. In Revelation 9:21, the word for sorceries is directly derived from the Greek word for drugs. Paul warns that at the close of this age, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The word translated imposters literally means enchanters. Chanting or incantation has always been a technique of sorcery. The contemporary drug culture and what is accompanied of heavy metal rock music is an example of two forms of sorcery working together. The following is a brief list of various categories under which the tools of sorcery may be classified. Any objects associated with idolatrous worship, whether pagan or professing to be Christian, any objects resenting any kind of false religion or cult or satanic practice, any objects upon which a practitioner of the occult has invoked supernatural power, even if this power is ostensibly directed towards a good purpose, such as healing, its source makes it the channel of a curse. Any objects that are the expression of superstition, such as horseshoes, lucky coins, figures of saints, and so on. Any kind of the branch of the occult, the knowledge branch of the occult, or the branch of the cult operating through the physical senses can open the curse in your life. If you were involved, I know before I came to the Lord, I used to go to fortune tellers all the time because I was so fearful of death, I had to make sure that they would tell me that I would be okay. When I came to the Lord, I had to get set free from all that garbage that I was involved in. You know, yes, I was born again, but I had to get delivered from all this junk in the world. I had to get set free. And you even look at, you know, your family, you know, and we'll get into this deeper as we go in. Various moral and ethical sins. Proverbs 5:3. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable, you do not know them. You know, as Christians, we have no business being involved in pornography, being involved with sexual sin, sex outside of marriage. You say, well, you know, Christians don't do that. Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. And they need to repent of that. You know, if you wonder why things are going right in your life, sometimes you need to do house cleaning. You need to look in your heart. God, what am I doing that is displeasing to you? We need to get that leaven out of our life. Disrespect for parents. Ephesians 6, 1 to 13. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. All forms of oppression or injustice, especially directed against the weak and the helpless, will cause a curse to operate in our life. Number six, all forms of illicit or unnatural sex. Deuteronomy 27. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's bed. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is one who lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Another area, God has boundaries that he has marked out for his people that we are to live within for our own protection. You know, how many stories have you heard of kids that have been sexually abused by their own parents? You know, that live with that pain, that have been, you know, through rape and incest and sexual, you know, being sexually molested, the pain that is in their life. God wants to set them free. How many of us have been there? Been back there where that pain is still part of our life. God wants you to be set free from that. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault because your parents were divorced. It's not your fault because you were raped. It's not your fault that those things came against you. Don't let the enemy keep you in a prison. It's not your fault that maybe your marriage didn't work out. You know, you need to let go of those things and go forward. Because the enemy wants to keep you in guilt and condemnation. He wants to keep you in that stronghold so you can't go forward. Another way of a curse operating in your life is anti-Semitism. Genesis 12, 2-3. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 27, 29, let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. We come against Israel. We are coming against God's people, and it's going to bring a curse on our life. It'll bring a curse against any country that comes against Israel. We are a part of Israel. We have been grafted into Israel. And one of the things that's going on, that it's called two covenant theology, where a lot of Christian evangelists are falling into it. They're saying Jewish people don't need to be saved. They got their own covenant. That's not in the Word. That is not in the Word. To me, how can you say you love the Jewish people and you don't want to share the Messiah with them, their Messiah? To me, that is the worst form of anti-Semitism. You know, and it's a lie of the enemy that we've been sucked into, that, no, there is one, the Bible says there's one covenant, one God, one Lord, one Spirit, the God and Father of all. You know, but that is, you know, that is in the church. Well, you don't have to share Yeshua. That, you know, I just literally sit there and it broke my heart. I go, really? Go tell Jews for Jesus. Tell a Jew that has been born again and set free and found out that Yeshua is the Messiah. Yes, we need to share Messiah with our Jewish brethren. Yes, they love God. But if works alone, if being Jewish and doing the Torah was enough, then all we have to do is convert to Judaism and do the Torah like they did. But we need Yeshua. Everybody, Jew and non-Jew, need Yeshua. He is the Messiah. Legalism, carnality, and apostasy. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. How are some of those ways that cause us to depart from the Lord, where theology is exalted above revelation, where intellectual education above character building, where psychology above discernment, program above the leading of the Holy Spirit, elegance above supernatural power, reasoning above the walk of faith, laws above love. 1 Corinthians 15, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. At Passover, we serve a risen Savior. He is alive. He is alive. Because otherwise, our preaching's in vain. Otherwise, we'd still be waiting for the Messiah. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not raise. For if the dead do not raise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Theft or perjury, Zechariah. And I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll. And he said to me, what do you see? So I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, this is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to the side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. And I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag of holes. God says, if those things are happening, you need to consider your ways. Withholding from God money or material resources to which he has a claim. Malachi 3, 8-10, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be enough room to receive it. Some ways, too, is self-imposed curses, speaking contrary to the word of God. You know, how many examples, you know, let me just give you some examples that Derek Prince gives and that we find ourselves, I'm sure, saying. I know I skipped down a little bit because I want to get to the main point. It's driving me crazy. I just can't take it anymore. It makes me mad to think. Whenever there's a bug, I catch it. I'm sick and tired. It runs in the family, so I guess I'm next. How many times have we, you know, do you hear that say? Or we, you know, they're just like, it just comes out of our mouth. I don't think I'll ever get pregnant. I've got the curse again. I just know I'm going to lose this one. I always do. The palm reader said my husband would leave me. Somehow I always knew my husband would find another woman. In our family, we have always fought like cats and dogs. You know, we bring curses on ourselves by the words we're speaking. We are to speak what the Word of God says. Go to your sheet now. Go to page... Go to page 4. I'm going to go over some of these areas so you can pinpoint. Again, this is between you and God. This is between you and the Holy Spirit. You know, nobody's going to have you come up forward. Nobody's going to embarrass you. This is just so you can see areas in your life that maybe there is a curse running in your life that you can take authority over. Pride can be linked as a root of all bitterness, going back to the fall of Lucifer. However, pride manifests itself in many ways. This exercise discusses seven of the more prevalent ways pride manifests itself, as outlined in Deuteronomy chapter 28. God allows curses to come upon his people due to our transgressions, many of which go back to our forefathers. Transgression literally means to cross or to go against God's will. This is our active refusal to acknowledge and observe the Torah, God's teaching and instruction in our daily lives. You know, the Bible says that rebellion is as witchcraft. The Torah describes in detail blessings and cursings as consequences of our life choices. As a consequence of our actions, we either choose his way, which is blessings, or suffer from the consequence of disobedience, curses in our own lives, which may be passed down to the third or fourth generations. Curses that are passed down from generation to generation are known as iniquities. Transgression is our willful disobedience to God's Torah. Our transgressions can become iniquities. The decision we make today not only determines our destiny, but can determine the destiny of our future generations. It is very important to bring these iniquities and transgressions to Yahweh and in repentance in order to be victorious over them. Deuteronomy 28 explicitly discusses the following curses. 1, mental or emotional breakdown. Repeated or chronic sickness, especially hereditary. Barrenness, a tendency to miscarry or related reproductive problems, breakdown of marriage and family alienation, continuing financial insufficiency, being accident prone, a history of suicides and unnatural or untimely deaths in your family. Do any of these curses apply to you or anyone in your family? We're going to discuss these one by one. After each exercise, write the names of each person in your family that are affected by these curses. Go to page 5. Mental or emotional breakdown. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hands to until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. Possible root causes. Occult involvement, whether white or black magic, paganism, earth worship, Wicca, New Age, involvement in secret societies, i.e. Freemasonry, lodges, elks, moose, etc., fraternities, sororities, etc., involvement in horoscopes, astrology, Ouija boards, seances, tarot cards, etc. Possible symptoms, confusion and depression, emotional roller coasters. I know Freemasonry is probably a very common thing that a lot of men are involved in, but it's very occultic. If you do a study on Freemasonry, you would be shocked. But we need to look into our families. Is there anybody in our family, in our generation, that has been involved in any of these things? Because these things can cause a curse to operate in our life. Again, I know because I was involved in the occult, in Ouija boards. How many, when you were a kid, got a Ouija board for a toy and found out that, you know what? There's something not right about this Ouija board, you know? It's part of the occult. Seances. How many times when you were a kid did you have a sleepover, especially girls? And you'd try to do these, like, seances and stuff. That'll bring a curse in your life. When I came to the Lord, I did have a lot of mental and emotional strongholds because of that. Fear. You know, because of the involvement. And I got set free from it. You know, praise God. And I looked at my family, and I said, you know what, there's a history of my family, read horoscopes. Somebody think, oh, ha, 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 horoscopes, it's just no big deal. That's part of the occult. I mean, people religiously read their horoscopes every day to make sure how their day is going to turn out. That's the occult. You have to call it what it is. To deny it is to lie to yourself and to lie to people that are involved in it. So as we're going through these things, just, you know, write, as the Holy Spirit's, you know, showing you, write it down, because we're going to take authority of those generational curses at the end together. Repeated or chronic sickness, especially if hereditary. Possible root causes, not following the laws of kashrut, biblical dietary laws. You know, God gives us those dietary laws for a reason, because they're to keep us healthy. Bitter root judgments or unforgiveness, especially towards parents, spouse, ex-spouses, and employers, or against anyone who abused or molested you. This may be a hard thing for some of you, but you need to get free from that, because it's only hurting you. We cannot afford the luxury of letting bitterness be in our life, because it's only hurting us. Possible symptoms or consequences is found in Deuteronomy 28. I'm just going to put this short list up here while I'm doing that. Could you put that? Yeah. In that box there, there's a handout. Right? Yeah. There, if you look under, there should be. Plagues or plaguing disease. Is there a history in your family of people, you know, of diseases, dying young, dying early? Consumption or wasting disease like anorexia or bulimia. Severe burning fever, inflammation, incurable boils, tumors, scabs or festering sores, incurable itch, blindness, extraordinary fearful prolonged plagues like diabetes, serious and prolonged sickness like cancer or heart disease, every other kind of sickness and plague. Note, like onset of diabetes and asthma often result from bitter root judgments against your parents or against present or past spouses. Hereditary types of sicknesses passed down from generation to generation. Many times we are confronted with the effects of a curse. It is difficult to suggest that any specific sickness is always or necessarily attributed to a curse. In many cases, it is highly possible a curse is at work, but without further evidence, it would be wrong to assert that this is necessarily so. There is only one expert whose diagnosis is final, and this is the Ruach HaKodesh. We always need to be conscious and dependent on him and his sovereignty. But if you go to a doctor, what's the first thing they have you fill out? A family history, because they want to see what runs in your family. And the Word of God says that, you know, he's redeemed us from the curse of the law, and that he wants us to be in health, and we don't have to accept those curses in our life. Barrenness, a tendency to miscarry or related reproductive problems. Deuteronomy 28:18. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Possible root causes, not following the laws of Nidah, sex outside Torah, fornication, pornography, abortion, affairs, soul ties, flashbacks of past relationships, comparing your spouse with your parents or in-laws, oral sex, which is a homosexual act, considered witchcraft, possible symptoms or consequences, inability to conceive, miscarriage, fetal death during or before childbirth, endometriosis, failure to menstruate or irregular menstruation, debilitating menstrual cramps, frigidity, cysts, tumors, or growths affecting any of the various reproductive organs, any condition leading to a hysterectomy, prostate cancer in men, low sperm count in men, sexual transmitted diseases. That's a big thing nowadays. Review the laws of Nidah. Have you or any of you having intimate relationships during menstruation. Scripture is very clear that women should refrain from sexual relations for 7 days from the onset of her menstrual cycle. God speaks firmly about this, and cervical cancer or other female-related problems can be linked to violating this law. And they've even done a study that the Jewish women that follow this law have a lower incidence of breast cancer and cervical cancer. So when God tells us not to do something, it's for our blessing, so we walk in health. It's not because, oh, I don't want you to have any fun. It's for our own protection. Again, these are things that you just need to look into yourself and just, write those things down. Breakdown of marriage and family alienation. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Possible root causes, religious pride, anger, not honoring your parents. Possible symptoms or consequences, divorce, poor relationships with parents, grandparents, in-laws, rebellious children, abuse to spouse or children, neglect or abandonment of children causing them to be orphaned, critical or judgmental spirit. And also notice that divorce will cause us to live in poverty for a season, whether spiritual, mentally, or financially. You know, Rabbi Messer did this teaching at the big church in Michigan, Bishop Butler's Church. And he said, he asked a simple question. How many of you who have gone through a divorce were in poverty for at least, a few years? I mean, hands shot up all over the place. And if I look back at my family, there's a history of divorce. But we are committed to Yeshua and the Torah. It's stopped. That curse is stopped. It is not going to go through our bloodline anymore because we've taken authority over it in Yeshua's name. Continuing financial insufficiency. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. You shall not prosper in your ways. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Deuteronomy 47:28. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of all things. Proverbs 13:7, there is one who makes himself rich and yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yes, has great riches. It would be unscriptural, however, to interpret poverty and abundance by materialistic standards of contemporary Western civilization. Biblically speaking, God's abundance is having all you need to do God's will and something left over to give to others. We must recognize that there is a higher level of wealth than just the material. People will go through financial roller coasters. Look at your family tree and identify all those in your family that suffer chronic financial insufficiency. Possible root causes, adulterous affairs, pornography, and greed. Possible symptoms or consequences. One of the biggest areas of continuing financial insufficiency is related to sexual immorality. The spirit of lust is the root of both financial insufficiency and sexual immorality. Typically, when one is involved in sexual immorality, their spirit cries out in the form of anger and rage. They cannot save money because of the lust for more things or uncontrollable spending. Being accident prone, you shall grope as a blind man gropes in darkness. Possible root causes, molestation or abuse. Possible symptoms or consequences, freak accidents, more than likely for most people. Carelessness, impulsiveness, an unnatural impulse to do harm to another or to animals, an unusually high number of vehicle accidents. Many times freak accidents are unconsciously self-afflicted because the individual's desires attention. Even though careless accidents reinforce a negative self-esteem or being clumsy, these accidents also bring the attention they desire. This is a cycle that needs to be broken by knowing your relationships with the Lord. There is a force working against people to trip them, causing them to stumble or impels them to make a rash, unpremeditated move. Forgiveness is needed to those who abused you. Ask the Ruach HaKodesh to reveal himself to you as your protector and reveal the relationship he desires to have with you. Last, a history of suicides and unnatural or untimely deaths, possible root causes, abuse, molestation, occult activity, possible symptom consequences, thoughts of suicide or trying to commit suicide, lack of joy in your life, when was the last time you laughed, critical or judgmental spirit, self-hatred, death of family members due to murder, suicide, or disease that took their life at an early age. Some people are always too serious. They feel that they do not deserve joy or to laugh or to have fun. The Lord wants us to enjoy life. The Lord laughed and always wants us to do the same. Remove, renounce, and remit the curse of any abuse that may have happened to you, and forgive those who abused or mistreated you and violated your trust. You know, I can think of, and I've given, you know, this example before of a friend of mine that I grew up with. I mean, you could just see the curse operating in their life. Her father was involved in the mafia, in the mob. Her family, everybody died in threes, and they died young. Her one brother, died of cancer at the age of 21. Her next brother committed suicide. Her other brother ended up in prison for murder. She finally came to the Lord, you know, but she still had to get free of those generational curses that were operating in her life. God wants us to walk in the blessings. He wants us to be blessed. He only has good things in store for us, but we can't have our one foot in the world and one foot in the Torah. Because you know what? You're gonna open yourself up to the curses in your life. Either you're committed to God or you're not. Either you're walking with him and you mean business with him, or you're not. God doesn't bring the curses. We allow those curses. He says, you allow them. But you're choosing, you know, to serve HaSatan instead of me. But God wants to free us from that. He wants us to lack. One of the way we bring a curse in our life is not tithing, not giving to God. That 10% belongs to him. You know, you're talking to people of experience. We, you know, when I was first saved, you know, I tithed. Then, you know, all of a sudden we started looking at the bills and stuff, and then we thought, oh, you know, that 10%, you know, that could be paid some bills. I know you'll understand, God. You know, we'll start tithing. But, you know, we never had money. We always had lack. We never had enough. It was, you know, it was just like there was holes in our pockets. And when we made the commitment, you know, God, 10% belongs to you. You said you'd meet my needs. You said you'd take care of us. He has. We always have enough. Those bills get paid because that 10% belongs to him. And if we rob him, then we rob him of blessing us. That 10% is his way of getting his work done here on this earth. And, you know, we've been there, done that. And you know what? Tithing is a blessing. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive him. He wants to bless you back. It's an act of faith to say, okay, Lord, I'm giving, you know, I could be using this for my bills, but I'm giving it to you. God will take care of you. God will meet your needs. I can tell you how many times that we've had tens of thousands of dollars of bills paid off. God provided a home for us. God paid off our car, you know, we know it was God because it sure wasn't us, because he is faithful. He wants to set you free from any of those things that are trying to keep you in a stronghold. A real excellent tape series that I was telling people downstairs is Black People of the Bible that Rabbi Messer talked about. And he talks about that when the slave traders brought the people over from, I think it was Benin, Africa, what the other tribes who were Muslims would do is they would make them walk around a pole three times and pronounce cursings over themselves. And their cursing was, well, it was poverty, promiscuity, and to forget who you were. And when they came to America, that their curse was operating in them. But God showed them how to get free, that, you know what, your roots are in Israel, that you are set free from any of those curses that your ancestors could have spoke over you in the name of Yeshua. It's an excellent series. Another rabbi, and this football player, I can't think of it, Reggie Smith, who was with the Lord, did the tape series. But it's an excellent tape series. I know in my own life, you know, when I look back, I know that there were people that prayed curses over me. You know, but those curses were broke in the name of Yeshua. Because he showed me that, you know, we have authority to break that curse. He has given us the authority to do that. And all you have to do is just say, you know, Father, I see this operating, and we're going to say this prayer together. You know, and I'm taking authority over any of those curses that have tried to operate in my family, because it stops here. It is not going to affect my children or my children's children anymore. You know, is the enemy going to try to, you know, bring it up? Yeah, but you know, you take it and say, no, it's under the blood of Yeshua. It cannot. It stops here because we are walking in the Torah. We are walking in Messiah. But we also have to take authority over that. Again, I can go even more in depth with this, but time is not going to allow it. But what we're doing is we're preparing ourselves for Pesach. We're preparing ourselves to get that leaven out of our life, because God wants us to walk in blessings. He wants us to be blessed. He wants our marriages to be blessed. He wants our kids to be blessed. He wants your jobs. He wants you to be a blessing on your job. He wants to bless you in every area of your life. It's the enemy that wants you to walk in the curses. It's the enemy that wants you to stay there in prison, in a mental prison, you know, thinking that, you know, that, oh, well, you know, my father was a failure, so I guess I'm going to be a failure. You know, well, there's divorce in my family, so I guess I'm doomed to divorce. And, you know, that's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the enemy. He has set you free from that, from those things operating in your life. If you go to that sheet on your page, and there's some prayers in there. We're going to pray together. And I'll let you stand up so you can stretch a little bit. And I just want to read something too. Colossians 3:12-13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. First, I must forgive myself. Then I must forgive everyone who has hurt me physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Jewish tradition identifies three stages in the process of forgiveness, whether you are being forgiven or are forgiving others. The steps are identified by the words shlecha, forgiveness, michla, letting go, and kapra, atonement. Forgiveness begins with the conscious intention to forgive. But if that process ends there, the feelings of guilt or resentment reappear when you least expect them. Letting go means I no longer need the past to have been any different than it was. At this stage, you may remember the pain, but you are no longer consumed either with guilt or resentment. With atonement, you can accomplish something positive that otherwise wouldn't have been possible. You still remember, and you still may feel the pain, but the act of atonement transforms the pain into a blessing. We know that Yeshua is our atonement. Again, you have the mikvah card, so it explains very clearly how to do a mikvah at home. We're going to pray two prayers. One is renunciation of sins of our family line. And the other one is the prayer to dismantle the roots of rebellion. And there's some other prayers there that you could pray at home, but we're just going to pray those two prayers. Okay, together. Are you there? Are we at that page? As a member of this family line, I repent for all those who suppress the truth by their wickedness. I repent for all those who, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him because their thinking was futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. I repent for all those who became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. I repent for the sinful desires of my ancestors' heart, who gave their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. I repent for all those who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever blessed. I repent for the shameful lusts of my ancestors and for the woman who exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. I repent for the men in my family line who abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another, men who committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves a due penalty for their perversion. I repent for those who did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, and therefore were turned over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. I repent for all those who have been filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity, and for all those who were full of envy, murder, strife, and deceit, and malice. I repent for all those who were gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. For all those who invented ways of doing evil, who were disobedient to their parents, and were senseless, faithful, heartless, and ruthless. I repent for those who, although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve those who practice them. I just want you to take a few moments alone with you and the Lord, where he show you those areas in your life. I just need to sit down a second. That you need to get set free from, and just quietly before the Lord, just receive that freedom and that forgiveness and that deliverance in your life. Praise you, Father. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are just showing those things in our life that we need to receive, your freedom, your forgiveness, your restoration, Father. I thank you, Father, right now that you are restoring minds, Father, that have been hurt and abused by words, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Father, I pray for those that have orphans' hearts, Father, that didn't have a father-daughter relationship or a relationship with their mother, Father, that was according to your word. I pray for those hurts right now, that you would release them from those hurts in the name of Yeshua. That you would release them, Father, from that orphan heart and that feeling of being abandoned, Father, in Yeshua's name. Father, I pray for those that were sexually molested or abused as children. Father, heal their hearts, Father. I thank you now, Father, that they are delivered, Father, from guilt, Father, in the name of Yeshua, from the feeling, Father, of being dirty, unworthy, and used. Father, I ask them to release them, Father, now, in the name of Yeshua, from that pain, Father, that has haunted them, Father. And I thank you for that pain, Father. You are going to give them joy, Father. In Yeshua's name. Thank you for your healing power, Father. I thank you for those who have gone through the pain of divorce, Father. I thank you right now that they are free from that feeling of rejection and condemnation in the name of Yeshua. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah, Father. I come against those word curses that were spoken on anybody here, telling them that they would not amount to anything, telling them that they would be a failure. I just come against that lie in the name of Yeshua, and I thank you, Father. We speak success in their life. We thank you, Father. You said whatever their hand says to do will prosper, Father, in the name of Yeshua. We come against every word curse that has been spoken against any person in this congregation, that it has fall through the ground, to the ground, in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I come against bitterness in the name of Yeshua. I thank you, Father, they are releasing that to you in Yeshua's name, Father. They will not walk in that prison of bitterness and unforgiveness any longer, Father. I thank you that as they release that, Father, they're going to receive healing in their bodies in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you that they're going to receive the ability, Father, if they desire to have children, to conceive children, Father. I thank you, Father, that they are healed and set free from arthritis, Father, as they let loose of their bitterness, Father, in the name of Yeshua, Father. Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that you set us free from our past, that we will not be bound as prisoners any longer, Father, that because we are working in your Torah, that curse has to stop in our lives in the name of Yeshua. Father, we take authority in the name of Yeshua right now over any generational curse that is operated in our bloodlines, Father, in our mother or father's side in Yeshua's name. For we have been set free from the curse of the law because we've been set free from those curses, Father, that come upon the sons of disobedience, Father, because we choose to be obedient to your word, Father, that our children and our children's children will not walk in that, Father. They will do greater things that we have done, Father. Father, they will walk in even a greater anointing, Father, in the name of Yeshua, Father. I thank you that they will not walk in those hurts and those pains that we walk through, Father, but they will walk in victory in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Go to the next prayer. Pray to dismantle the roots of rebellion. And then we'll end. If anybody needs us to pray for you as well, we'll lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we repent for all generational idolatry. We repent for of all personal and generational rebellion, stubbornness, and disobedience that have contributed to witchcraft in my line and in my generational line. We repent of all envy and jealousy of the mind, physical bodies, and personalities of others. We repent for any worship of ourselves and any need of personal recognition. We repent for all envy and jealousy of the spiritual giftings and capacities of others. We repent for ourselves and for those in our generational line who did not guard the gates of the spiritual and physical senses. We repent for choosing our will above the will of the Lord. We choose to owe no one anything but to love one another. We choose to cast off the work of darkness and to put on the armor of light, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We choose to walk only according to the grace and anointing God has given to us. We choose to walk in unity with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We choose to follow Messiah, living a life of love, preferring others above ourselves. We choose to yield and surrender our personal rights so that we might serve the Lord wholeheartedly. We choose to be devoted to one another in brotherly love and to honor one another above ourselves. We will never be lacking in zeal, but will keep our spiritual fervor serving the Lord. We will be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We will share with God's people who are in need. We will practice hospitality. We will bless those who persecute. We will rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We will live in harmony with other believers. We will not be proud, but we will associate with people of low position. We will not be conceited. We will not repay evil for evil. We have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. We will live at peace with everyone, and we will not take revenge on others. Lord, will you now remove all ungodly spiritual beings and devices that have been empowered by my idolatry, rebellion, and jealousy, and the idolatry, rebellion, and jealousy of my ancestors. Lord, will you disconnect me from any evil network and break all ungodly ties between the abode of the enemy and myself? Lord, will you remove the generational tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Lord, will you break the cords of death that entangle me, the torrents of destruction that overwhelm me, the cords of Sheol that are coiled around me, and the snares of death that confront me? Lord, I now take back any godly anointing, energy, authority, finances, and health given away and perverted because of my sin and my ancestors' sin. Lord, will you set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for your love is stronger than death. I declare that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head and he is Lord over all. Let's just praise him and thank him that we are set free in Yeshua's name. Thank you, Father, that you are going to use us in a mighty way. I thank you, Father, that the past is behind us, Father. We forget those things and we press forward to the high calling of Yeshua HaMashiach in our life. I thank you that that curse has been broken, Father, that we walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh in the name of Yeshua. I thank you, Father, that we are set free. I thank you, Father, that as we do that mikvah, Father, it's a picture of your word cleansing us, Father. Your word setting us free, Father. We submit ourselves to your word, your power, and your authority, Father. Put a watch on our lips, Father. Circumcise our mouth, Father. Circumcise our hearts, Father, that we may walk, Father, according to your word. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, that signs and wonders may follow us, Father, because there are hurting people out there that need to be set free, Father, and we just thank you for it. We thank you for this coming Pesach, Father. We thank you for Yeshua, the Passover Lamb who died for our sins. We thank you that we serve a Savior that is alive, that overcame death, hell, and the grave for us. Not because he had to, he did it for us. We thank you that Yeshua is Yahweh in the flesh, God himself manifested among us, Father. I thank you, Father, that we, as we celebrate Pesach, as we celebrate these feasts, that we remember that Yeshua is the point of all these feasts, and that we proclaim his death and his resurrection until he comes. We thank you that you are cleansing the leaven from out of our lives, Father, that we may walk as so holy and set apart people, Father, in you, in the name of Yeshua. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. If anybody needs agreement in prayer, we're up here to pray for you. And again, we have the whole mikvah book if you want it with all the scriptures. But I tell you, every time we go through a mikvah, it's a blessing because we know it's like we've come to a new level in our life. And that's what it's about. God wants to keep us bringing to new levels. He wants us to walk in victory over every area of our life, in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Well, Shabbat Shalom each other, and then we go downstairs and have some fellowship. Anybody needs prayer and wants us to anoint you with oil and pray for you, we'd be glad to pray for you. Oh, and news flash. we got news that we are officially, our 501c3 has been approved, and it really went through quick. When we prayed about it, they were telling us, well, it takes like by the time you send in the paperwork, it takes like a year and a half to get through. And I was like, Father, I just thank you that you're going to put it on the desk of the person it needs to get through. It got approved in 10 months. So, you know, I mean, God got it through the system, and, you know, we just, and it's retro 2 years. So, you know, we are, tax deductible now. We always work, but we were under the amazing graces, but now we're under our own. So, you know, we just thank God for his favor, and, you know, we did it ourselves, which is another miracle going through all that paperwork, but because I thought, well, and they only had us make two teeny little corrections in the paperwork, and believe me, there's a lot of paperwork, but it was either pay a lawyer $3,000 to do it or do it ourselves. So we thank God because he gave us, it's his wisdom, right? He gave us the wisdom on how to do it. And praise God, he's going to continue to give wisdom on how to do what he's called us to do. You know, we don't lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge him, and he directs our path. Hallelujah. So praise God.
can't forget this. May Yahweh bless you and protect you. May Yahweh's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh turn his face to you and give you shalom. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Don't forget Passover Seder next week.